It's 8:59. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Next up, stay tuned for Press Watch, Teresa Mitchell's weekly look at the news you're but not supposed to know.
Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Rally Against War in Iran and Venezuela on Sunday, July 28th from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Salmon Street Fountain Plaza in Waterfront Park in Portland. This march and rally will primarily focus on the possibility of U.S. military intervention in Iran and Venezuela, but also calling attention to the use of sanctions as economic war. Again, that's the Rally Against War in Iran and Venezuela, and Sanctions Kill People Too, on Sunday, July 28th from 1 to 4 p.m. at the Salmon Street Fountain Plaza in Waterfront Park, downtown Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm at the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Willem van Spronsen. That's the name. And it's a name you're supposed to forget. I want to read from La Resistencia's statement on the shooting death of at the Northwest Detention Center of a protester. On the 13th, 5 days ago, a person who appears to have been engaged in protest against the Northwest Detention Center, the NWDC in Tacoma, was shot and killed by members of the Tacoma Police Department. Today marks yet another death, they write, referring to that day 5 days ago, linked to the detention center, and another death at the hands of the police. Based on available information, including the police scanner recording, Willem van Spronsen, the protester killed, appears to have been targeting not the detention center itself, as been widely reported in the media, but the parking lot across the street from the detention center, which houses the NWDC's transportation infrastructure. This infrastructure includes a fleet of buses that transports immigrants to be caged at the detention center, and that transports immigrants from the detention center to the Yakima Airport, from which they are deported. Willem van Spronsen was apparently trying to set the deportation buses on fire when he was shot and killed. His actions sadly reflect the level of desperation people across this country feel about the government's outrageous violence against immigrants, which includes the use of detention centers to cage migrants both currently living in the U.S. and those seeking asylum. This death results from the federal government's unresponsiveness to the anger and despair people feel at the horrors unfolding both at the border and in the interior, and from the inability of officers to de-escalate rather than shooting to kill. But for the city of Tacoma, they write, allowing the GEO Group's facility to be built and expanded in Tacoma, this death and the death and suffering of those inside the detention center would have been avoided. The NWDC has become a liability, not just for the tens of thousands who have been caged there, but for the city of Tacoma itself. It's past time for the city of Tacoma to cancel GEO's business license. It's clear that this business is a deadly one that has only brought pain and suffering to our region. La Resistencia calls on the city of Tacoma to hold immediate public hearings addressing the Tacoma Police's actions today that resulted in the loss of life at the detention center, and answer why the city continues to allow GEO to operate with a city business license. That's from La Resistencia, a grassroots collective led by undocumented immigrants and U.S. citizens based in Tacoma, Washington. It's an unincorporated association founded to confront human rights violations at the Northwest Detention Center and dedicated to ending the detention and deportation of immigrants. The man's name was Willem van Spronsen. Willem van Spronsen. I'm being adamant about this because I put up a comment about it on YouTube and found that it was almost immediately censored. I'm not putting up with that. This is why you have KBOO. This is why I do Press Watch, to bring you the news you're not supposed to know. So pardon me for a moment while I adjust the microphone. I want to talk about Willem van Spronsen, the man that you're not supposed to think about. Why did he do what he did? And exactly what did he do? As I was saying, he was accused of trying to set fire to a propane tank and burn up all the immigrants, or else he was some sort of fool who risked that. Well, none of this is true. So I'm going to read Willem van Spronsen's final statement. That's the least we can do for this man. Willem van Spronsen's final statement. "There's wrong and there's right," he wrote. "It's time to take action against the forces of evil. Evil says one life is worth less than another. Evil says the flow of commerce is our purpose here. Evil says concentration camps for folks deemed lesser are necessary. The handmaid of evil says the concentration camps should be more humane. Beware the centrist." These are words of Willem van Spronsen. He wrote, "I have a father's broken heart, I have a broken down body, and I have an unshakable abhorrence for injustice. That is what brings me here. This is my clear opportunity to try to make a difference. I'd be an ingrate to be waiting for a more obvious invitation." Words of Willem van Spronsen. S-P-R-O-N-S-E-N. Willem van Spronsen. He wrote, "I follow three teachers. Don Pritz, my spiritual guide. Love without action is just a word," is the quote. "John Brown, my moral guide." The quote, "What is needed is action." Emma Goldman, my political guide. The quote, "If I can't dance, I don't want to be in your revolution." Willem van Spronsen wrote, "I'm a head in the clouds dreamer. I believe in love and redemption. I believe we're going to win. I'm joyfully revolutionary." We should all have been reading Emma Goldman in school instead of the jingo drivel we were fed, but I digress. We should all be looking at the photos of the YPG heroes. Should we falter and think our dreams are impossible, but I double digress, fight me. Willem van Spronsen writes, "In these days of fascist hooligans preying on vulnerable people in our streets in the name of our state or supported and defended by the state, in these days of highly profitable detention concentration camps and a battle over the semantics, in these days of hopelessness, empty pursuit, and empty yearning, we are living invisible fascism ascendant." In parentheses, he writes, "I say visible because those paying attention watched it survive and thrive under the protection of the state for decades. See Howard Zinn, The People's History of the United States. Now it abashedly follows its agenda with open and full cooperation from the government, from governments around the world." The man's name is Willem van Spronsen. His memory, his intention, what he actually did is being erased. So you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Press Watch, news you're not supposed to know, and I'm reading the statement of Willem van Spronsen, who died 5 days ago, fighting fascism, fighting racism. He wrote, "Fascism serves the needs of the state, serves the needs of business, and at your expense. Who benefits? Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett, Elon Musk, Tim Cook, Bill Gates, Betsy DeVos, George Soros, Donald Trump, and need I go on? Let me say it again. Rich guys who think you're not really all that good really dig government, every government everywhere, including communist governments, because they make the rules that make rich guys richer. Simple. Don't overthink it. Are you patriots in the back paying attention?" Willem van Spronsen wrote, "When I was a boy in post-war Holland and later France, my head was filled with stories of the rise of fascism in the 30s. I promised myself that I would not be one of those who stands by as neighbors are torn from their homes and imprisoned for being somehow perceived as lesser. You don't have to burn the MF down," he wrote, "but are you just going to stand by?" Willem van Spronsen wrote, "This is the test of our fundamental belief in real freedom and our responsibility to each other. This is a call to patriots, too, to stand against this travesty, against everything that you hold sacred. I know you. I know that in your hearts you see the dishonor in these camps. It's time for you, too, to stand up to the money pulling the strings of every goddamn puppet pretending to represent us. I'm a man who loves you all and this spinning ball so much that I'm going to fulfill my childhood promise to myself to be noble." Words of Willem van Spronsen, who died earlier this week, fighting fascism. Here it is in these corporate for-profit concentration camps. Here it is in brown and non-conforming folks afraid to show their faces for fear of the police, MIGRA, Proud Boys, the boss, Becky's. Here it is, a planet almost used up by the market's greed. "I'm a black and white thinker," he wrote. Detention camps are an abomination. I'm not standing by. I really shouldn't have to say any more than this. Willem van Spronsen wrote, "I set aside my broken heart and I heal the only way I know how, by being useful. I efficiently compartmentalize my pain, and I joyfully go about this work. To those burdened with wreckage from my actions," he wrote, "I hope that you will make the best use of that burden." Willem van Spronsen wrote, "To my comrades, I regret that I will miss the rest of the revolution. Thank you for the honor of having me in your midst, giving me peace to be useful. To feel that I was fulfilling my ideals has been the spiritual pinnacle of my life. Doing what I can to help defend my precious and wondrous people is an experience too rich to describe. Willem van Spronson wrote, "My trans comrades have transformed me, solidifying my conviction that we will be guided to a dreamed-of future by those most marginalized among us today. I have dreamed it so clearly that I have no regret for not seeing how it turns out. Thank you for bringing me so far along. I am Antifa. I stand with comrades around the world who act from the love of life in every permutation, comrades who understand that freedom means real freedom for all and a life worth living. Keep the faith. All power to the people. Bella Ciao." Willem van Spronson wrote, "Don't let your silly government agencies spend money investigating this one. I was radicalized in civics class at 13 when we were taught about the Electoral College. It was at that point that I decided that the status quo might be a house of cards. Further reading confirmed in the positive. I highly recommend reading. I am not affiliated with any organization. I have disaffiliated from any organizations who disagree with my choice of tactics." Willem van Spronson wrote, "The semi-automatic weapon I used was a cheap, home-built, unregistered Ghost AR-15. It had 6 magazines. I strongly encourage comrades and incoming comrades to arm themselves. We are now responsible for defending people from the predatory state. Ignore the law and arming yourself if you have the luxury. I did." And that is the end of the statement from Willem van Spronson. Willem van Spronson. Willem van Spronson.
Mi sono alzato. Oh bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. Stamattina mi sono alzato e ho trovato l'invaso. Oh partigiano, portami via. Oh bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. Partigiano, portami via.
All right, you're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. And this is the news you're not supposed to know. If you have comments or questions on what I was just presenting, the number to call 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I want to read from the Trotskyists. We'll clarify that I'm not myself a Trotskyist, but I do like much of what they write on their website. On WSWS.org, this is another censored thing, so you have to memorize it. It's not going to be brought to you by the web. It's not going to be prompted to you, so you just have to remember WSWS.org if you want to read these things. They have an editorial titled, "Donald Trump's Fascist Strategy," is published yesterday. Donald Trump, they write, extended his fascist attacks on 4 freshman Democratic congressmen yesterday, congresswomen, tweeting that Rashida Tlaib, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, and Ayanna Pressley are horrible anti-Israel, anti-USA pro-terrorists, denouncing the radical left and calling the congresswomen communists. Trump added, "If you hate our country or if you are not happy here, you can leave." On Sunday, Trump initiated the provocation by tweeting that the 4 congresswomen, all of whom are U.S. citizens, should go back to the, quote, crime-infested places from which they came, end quote, equating social opposition in general, and socialism in particular, with support for terrorism. He tweeted, "We will never be a socialist or communist country." In an editorial board statement yesterday, the New York Times called Trump's statements a gambit to distract from his policy fiascos, his court losses, his political failures. At a press conference Monday afternoon, the 4 targeted congresswomen made similar remarks referring to Trump's rants as a distraction. They write, "This was contradicted by the fact that photographers captured images of written talking points Trump used during the Monday press conference. It's actually dangerous because it seems like they hate America," the prepared notes read. "They want America to be socialist." Extrapolating from these notes, Trump referred to the, quote, "love they have for Al-Qaeda," end quote, and claimed that the congressmen women hate Jews. When asked by a reporter whether it concerned him that white nationalists are ecstatic over his tweets, Trump replied, "It doesn't concern me because many people agree with me." Trump is proceeding according to a deliberate political strategy worked out with the White House fascist brain trust, including Stephen Miller, the architect of Trump's crackdown on immigrants. He is attacking the 4 congresswomen with a high level of consistency, repeating political themes common to fascist and far-right political movements. He equates opposition to his administration and criticism of his personal rule with support for terrorism, paving the way for the criminalization of free speech and critical thought. I want to read that sentence again. He equates opposition to his administration and criticism of his personal rule with support for terrorism, paving the way for the criminalization of free speech and critical thought. Trump states that his opponents are dangerous and hate the nation, suggesting that complaining about the policies of the government is treasonous. He presents socialism and communism as foreign ideologies directed against the American people. These are ideas developed by Nazi theorists, such as the jurist Carl Schmitt, who authored the conception of the state of exception to justify Nazi totalitarian rule. Lurking behind Trump's assertion that those who are not happy and want America to be socialist should leave the U.S. is the suggestion that if they fail to do so voluntarily, the government will be justified in rounding them up by force. This is reading from the WSWS.org editorial. I have some audio for you of Trump's rally after he denounced the four congresswomen. Maybe you can hear it. Maybe you can't. Let me see what I can do here. You can hear the mania in that. I have something to compare to it.
What's going on up here?
What is that?
And,
this is dope. I love the light.
A Chevy Blazer commercial is coming on instead. I have some other audio. Hear the mania? I'll bet I don't have to tell you where that came from. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. Trump is doubling down on fascism. And WSWS.org has editorials on it, both general and particular editorials. Millions of immigrants, they write, significant portions of the working class in 10 targeted cities are living in fear of impending raids announced by Trump earlier this month. Last week, he threatened to violate a Supreme Court decision barring him from including a question on citizenship status on the 2020 census. On Monday, the administration imposed a new federal regulation effectively barring Central Americans from seeking asylum in the U.S., a clear violation of international law. And now I'm thinking about it, in case there's anyone who would doubt, don't go buy a Chevy Blazer. They're horrible cars. These actions follow his deployment of thousands of active duty troops to the U.S.-Mexican border and his declaration of a state of emergency to override Congress and allocate Pentagon funds to build his border wall. With each of those measures, Trump has used anti-immigrant xenophobia as the tip of the spear to violate basic constitutional norms and establish rule by decree. Trump and his advisors are attempting to build an extra-constitutional movement linking fascist elements within the state, including tens of thousands of agents of Immigration and Customs Enforcement and Customs and Border Protection, with a minority of voters who support his reactionary policies. And I want to depart from that text from WSWS.org to point out that there is a huge amount of solidarity, cooperation, collaboration, and fascism within our various police forces. This is their consistent actions in solidarity with fascist groups, their refusal to prosecute, their aiding and abetting, which goes back decades, frankly, but which is achieves a new fever pitch now, is a huge part of why the Trump movement is successful, why it is fascist, and why you should understand that we are now up against the wall. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. I believe I have caller. Go to the first caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, Teresa, how are you? My name's Dan.
Hello, Dan.
KBOO member. I've called before and applaud your work. And was disturbed by something I read in the Portland Tribune that I imagine you're aware of, talking about, in rather derogatory fashion, as the Tribune might be inclined to do, but talking about issues at KBOO that I, as a member and actually a guest at KBOO on your air, knew nothing about, that Ani has been suspended and that there's all sorts of turmoil between the board and the staff, and was hoping you could shed some light on that. I ask in a spirit of solidarity as a KBOO supporter.
Okay. Well, I want to be careful about this, and I want to be even-handed. I have the power of a weekly show, and that is, for other factions involved in the dispute, an unfair advantage. So, again, caution. And I do have opinions on this. You can find them on my postings on Facebook. You can find them on portlandindiemedia.org. You can find them on savekboo.org. And there is a board meeting on Monday night. And with that, I'll have to end further comment.
Monday night upcoming board meeting.
Yes.
What time, please?
6 p.m. here at the station, 20 Southeast 8th.
I wish everyone involved well, and carry on with your excellent show.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Returning to the discussion of fascism, I want to emphasize I'm bringing up fascism in the same way that WSWS.org is. The Trotskyists here are simply using the word precisely, not throwing an insult. There is, because of the 20th century, a horrific charge to the word fascist, but it is an accurate description. I am, if you want to describe my political attitudes, an anarcho-socialist. That's not an insult for me. That's accurate. I'm an anarcho-socialist. Trump is a fascist. His followers are fascists. Now, they don't want to be called fascists. But this is what is going on now, and you need to be aware. And as I was saying, because the police are so down with this, and because there are 63 million people who voted for him, and because his intention with Stephen Miller is to rule from the minority, his intention is to rule as an apartheid white minority, a white fascist minority. This power is being built. It is and will become much more violent. This is an historic moment. This is one of those moments in history in which things pivot. This is one of those moments in which you will ask yourself 5 years from now what you did, and 10 years from now, you will read history and you will judge yourself according to whether you acted or whether you did not and how you acted. This is not a moment in which we wait to see what happens. This is it. This is not a rehearsal. Time is 9:21, almost 9:22. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. The number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. Trump and his advisors are attempting to build an extra-constitutional movement linking fascist elements within the state, including thousands of agents of Immigration and Customs Enforcement and Customs and Border Protection Police, with the minority of voters who support his reactionary policy. The Democratic Party's response combines its typical fecklessness with a race-based appeal that blows wind in the sails of Trump's strategy. I'll just make my own comments after that sentence. They're correct. The Democratic Party has no feck. They are feckless. And for good reason. They are not representing you. They are representing corporations. Corporations want things to stay steady. They want you to keep showing up at your very low-wage job until you are fired for being too tired. Returning to what they have written, the Democratic leadership announced yesterday that it opposes calls from within the caucus to formally censure Trump for his remarks, opting instead to chide Trump with a mild, non-binding resolution upholding Ronald Reagan as an icon of American democracy. The Democratic Party has mounted no serious opposition to Trump's dictatorial moves and voted last month to give him an additional $4.6 billion to fund his war on immigrants. There's more to that article. And it gets into parts of their philosophy that I don't actually agree with, but I salute them for what they have written up to that point, and I think it's very useful. Also, their reporting is very good. The source is WSWS.org. It's 9:23. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Number to call, 503-231-8187. I see that there are calls coming in, so I'll continue with news briefs. Going along with the attack on immigrants, oh, by the way, it's often commented that Obama was the deporter-in-chief. Indeed, he was, and was denounced as such on these airwaves and by me. This is about demagoguery. This is about turning the population fascistically against people of color. So there is a difference. I don't want to let Obama off the hook, nor the Democratic Party. nor the corporations who consistently profit by creating a subclass that is hounded from one border to the other. But from Radio Havana, Cuba, the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees warned Tuesday that the new asylum application policies by which the United States seeks to stop migrant flow go against international obligations because they violate highly basic rights and freedoms. I should correct, it's the office of the UNHCR. Quoting the office, "We understand the U.S. asylum system is under significant pressure. However, we are deeply concerned about a measure which will put vulnerable families at risk." That's a quote from the UNHCR head, Filippo Grandi, referring to the rejection of asylum requests made by migrants who have reached the U.S. territory without previously presenting an asylum application at a third safe country. The OHCHR spokesman explained, quote, "This measure excessively curtails the right to seek asylum, threatens the right not to suffer a forced return, and places the excessive burden of proof on the applicants," end quote. "The consequence of the U.S. policy will be to put at risk the vulnerable people who need international protection and who flee their countries for reasons ranging from poverty to persecution. This measure will force migrants to seek asylum in Mexico or Guatemala, countries which can hardly be considered safe territories for Hondurans or Salvadorans. If they do not file their applications in such countries, these migrants will be returned by U.S. authorities to Mexico." The Department of Homeland Security said the new rule goes into effect Tuesday and places further restrictions or limitations on eligibility for aliens who seek asylum in the U.S. The American Civil Liberties Union, however, called the measure patently unlawful and voted to file a lawsuit against it. In January, President Donald Trump required many asylum seekers to wait out their cases in Mexico, known as the Remain in Mexico policy or the Migrant Protection Protocols, with nearly 20,000 people sent back so far. It's not immediately clear how the new rule would affect MPP. And if you're listening to Democracy Now!, you heard that the family of Eric Garner is continuing their fight for justice after federal prosecutors decided not to charge a New York City police officer in his choking death. Garner died exactly 5 years ago during an arrest for allegedly selling illegal cigarettes on Staten Island after police officers knocked him to the ground and put him in a chokehold. His death ignited demonstrations nationwide, and his dying words, "I can't breathe," became a rallying cry in protest against police violence. Federal prosecutors said on Tuesday the evidence does not prove the officers willfully violated Garner's civil rights. And I just wanted to part from that and say that's a ridiculous statement, and horrific statement. It comes in context of killing, and I'm talking about this greater context of fascism. The deaths are happening now. The violence is increasing. The violence will continue to increase. Willem van Spronsen, as I started off this show, did something about and gave his life for the cause. Willem van Spronsen was his name. His effort is being censored. Whatever you think of it, you are not being allowed to consider it within the context of truthful reporting. Willem van Spronsen was his name. And almost used up my time now. I'll check with the engineer and see if someone's waiting to talk on air. Is that the case? All right. Okay, so another news brief, and please bear in mind that Per Fogring is coming up to the hallway and getting ready to do his show, Fight the Empire, and you'll want to hear that on KBOO Portland. From the Daily Beast, Shira Fader writes, "At least 1,000 Jews, immigrants, and activists protested outside Immigration and Customs Enforcement's Washington, D.C. headquarters Tuesday afternoon, shutting down all points of entry for several hours. Never again means close the camps," that's a quote of the protesters chanting in the sweltering 95-degree heat as they stood together with linked arms outside the doors of the building. They hung an enormous banner over the entry ramp to ICE headquarters that read, "Pelosi, never again is now." The demonstrators, several of whom were arrested Tuesday afternoon, were part of an event organized by Never Again Action, a Jewish activist group that's been protesting outside ICE facilities around America, and Movimiento Cosecha, an organization fighting for undocumented immigrants. The goal was to disrupt ICE daily work. Meanwhile, from Kelly Weil, published in Memory, a Jewish group says Never Again means taking on ICE. Federal workers were forced to walk around the protesters looking for ways to enter the building as people outside caught glimpses of workers inside checking the doors. But from Common Dreams, and Israel lobby groups are hatching a plan to divide the left. Influential Israel lobby groups are offering rules for how Jewish communal organizations can divide the left and break up emerging intersectional coalitions. They also advocate for delegitimizing Jews deemed too supportive of Palestinian rights. Israel and its lobbies see the strengthening solidarity between Palestinians and other oppressed groups, especially black people in the United States, as a major threat, and they are determined to fight back. So you're going to have to look that up at commondreams.org. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland via 90.7 on our great big red and white Eiffel Tower on the West Hills and other frequencies elsewhere in Cascadia and via KBOO.fm, going out to you and to all the ships at sea.
It's 9:29 a.m. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Next up, stay tuned for Fight the Empire. When host Pete Perfigurang looks at how the imperialism permeates our lives.
Tune in to KBOO Wednesday, July 24th from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. for the 21st Annual Homelessness Marathon. Broadcasting from a different city each year and airing on non-commercial radio stations coast to coast, this annual marathon features live reports, interviews with advocates and experts, and calls from listeners all over the country. This year's programming includes the voices of youth, students, and LGBTQ people, panels on fighting evictions, transitioning people back into housing, and ending homelessness now. That's the Homelessness Marathon, Wednesday, July 24th, from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Going home.